Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
G'day everyone, this is the LFC Podcasting Couch. This is episode 112, and by my side is Peter, the coach, Kafinas. What's up?
We're going to have to change that name.
Which one?
The coach.
Why?
To the crystal ball.
The crystal ball. Yes, you've done it again. what was the prediction this week? Just draw.
It was a draw.
It was a draw.
And that's about, I think, what, six in a row. And it's all there. It's all on evidence in our WhatsApp group. But the positive news with my predictions... Mm-hmm. is that I predicted us to beat United.
That's when you said that the streak is going to break in terms of us drawing and fucking around with games.
Yeah, so we'll beat United. I put it down in the WhatsApp group. It's there. We will beat United.
So there's also another thing. So we're both going to use our jinxing powers, whatever it is, our prediction powers, jinxing powers, to full effect. So Liverpool are going to get a whole wave of this shit, because what I'm going to do is... Everyone listening, I'm taking the sacrifice back. I'm going to start betting against Liverpool again.
Good.
I have not bet against Liverpool the whole season.
You win a lot of money.
Because what happened was I recently made a withdrawal. I last year I won, or over the last 2 years, I've won close to $300-$400 on betting little $5 on, not on Liverpool losing, just on the opposition result. They can draw whatever. And it might sound, look, I'm forgetting that there are people listening to this. Because people are going to go, how dare you bet on Liverpool? This is my explanation. I can't handle losing. I can't. It ruins my day, my week, my month. I can't handle it. So if someone, just say you're shattered, and someone says, Pete, how you going, Pete? They say, how are you? What do you say? I'm not feeling too good.
Not feeling the best.
Yeah. Not feeling the best. Why? Liverpool have fucked around with me again.
Ruined my life, as always.
Here's an ex-Benedict. That sounded weird, that crack. People are going to think that's something else.
That was my back.
That was a back crack, okay? It's not a fart.
It's not like Liverpool, I just get stressed. I get it causes my back to tighten up and my neck to... It's just, yeah.
But someone says to you, Liverpool have just lost. How would you like an ex-Benedict? Here, Eggs Benedict. And you're like, but doesn't that cost like $23.50 or $23.53, however much you may have bet on Liverpool for the win? And then they're like, it doesn't matter. You can have this free breakfast. Have it. Mm. And you're like, yeah, why not?
I will have that free breakfast.
It's not going to cure everything. I'm still upset, but I'll take the breakfast. And that's my sort of, that's my outlook on it. So this year, what I did was I had a whole heap of money in the account. I withdrew it because I wanted to use it. And now my account's empty for Sportsbet. And there's zero in there. So I thought, I'm not going to keep putting money in and bet. But and you should never bet, by the way, guys. This is not like I'm not advocating betting. I think Nish hates betting, by the way.
Gamble responsibly.
Or don't gamble at all. This is me. I'm making a sacrifice for the team. This is different. This is much different. But anyway... I haven't done that this season, and what the fuck? We're drawing every week in, week out. So, I'm going to put $50 into the account, and every week I'm going to do my little mathematics. I'm going to look at all the odds, and I'm going to do my little bets. $3.50 here, $4 here. And you sit there, you put $1 on Burnley, who are 12-1. You fucking make a killing.
That's true.
Liverpool, year in, year out, are always the favourites to win games. Newcastle to draw is about $4. Bookies don't learn.
No, they don't.
They don't learn. Do they watch Liverpool? We even said, what are we going to talk about on the podcast today? We've already talked about it a million times.
And we've seen it a million times.
Now, I'm not, I'm the most positive person when it comes to Liverpool. So I'm not, I don't care about the current funk, because this is shocking for people to hear. I want us to win the league, but I don't care if we win the league this year. I don't care. Yes, that's what you want. And every year you hope, and even this year I still have hopes for it. Nish put up on the Podcasting Couch Twitter the other day that Borussia Dortmund lost their opening three games. And this is, again, your point of you don't look at other teams. It doesn't mean anything. But it's at least something for people to have hope. You know, Klopp's been in this position before. Opening three games lost and then drew one. And And that was the opening six games. So imagine losing half your games, being bottom of the table, and then winning the league. You know, it's not completely unheard of. But having said that, it doesn't mean the season's over. A lot of people are saying that the season slipped away. It's gone. It's over.
No, it's not. It's not gone. But we actually need to start reviving it very shortly, though. Like we,
and this is the perfect time to do it. What better time than Manchester United?
Because have you seen who's after United? Spurs. No.
They're too easy, mate.
So it's, you know, Harry Kane at the moment is not. Again, this morning, scores the winner for England. He's lining up against our defence, Harry Kane.
He's a flash in the pan. My God. I think everyone has said he's a flash in the pan so many times that when he gets to a point where he's world class, they like forget to say it. It's the poor guy. I wonder what it is. He's just so, he looks awkward when he's doing it, and he's so incredible. He's obviously not a flash in the pan. But
has he scored like 45 goals in three games?
I think it is about 45 goals in three games. Like, it could be more.
Imagine him lining up against our defense at the moment. Like, it's just like, okay, Harry, just don't score more than four.
Is he the type of striker that scores against this Liverpool defense? It's like a quick striker that gets in behind and gets and scores a stupid rebound or a.
Look, at the moment, we're scoring our goals for us. If you look at the Newcastle goal,
yeah.
Well, he knew that Yosselu would miss, so Matip's just gone, I'll kick it into you just so you can score.
Yeah, exactly. We're not even conceding goals anymore. Where it's like in FIFA, if you were playing FIFA, they didn't have a shot for that goal to go in. It's like you're at halftime and it says Newcastle shots on target zero, but goals one. It's like, how have they had no shots on our goalkeeper and they've got a goal? It's at that point that you take the game out and throw it out the window.
Or break your controller.
And you break the controller, throw it into the TV.
That's what I almost did. I mean, you know, during that Newcastle match, I almost broke my laptop.
Your laptop? I thought you were going to say you went and got your PlayStation control and threw it at the wall.
No, I almost broke the laptop because it was 2:30 in the morning in Australia. It was late or early, whatever you want to call it. I was tired.
Oh, mate, you can't beat my story.
And I just had enough.
Listen to this. I had a wedding. Finished the wedding at 1 o'clock. I got at home at 1 o'clock. By the time I sort of, you know, get ready for bed, whatever, 1:15, I go to bed. For a little bit of a nap, 1:15. I wake up at 2:30. What's that? An hour and 15 minutes. Game goes until 4:30. I unwind till 4:45. I had a flight 6 o'clock in the morning to go to Melbourne for a business meeting. So am I going to go to bed? No. I'm up from 4:45 till 5:45. Go to the airport, whatever. Then I'm up the whole day. I functioned on Monday going to a meeting. On 1 hour, 15 minutes. That's what you do to me, Liverpool.
I don't talk about it. I hate Liverpool. I don't go for them anymore. That's it. I've changed.
How easy would it be? How easy would it be just United, Chelsea? It'd just be so easy, right?
Well, if I had to pick, no, I'm not going to do it.
I mean, but imagine Barcelona or Real Madrid. Imagine dedicating your life to them. It'd be boring. It would be boring. You sit there going, oh, another win. Okay. Yeah, but this is exciting at least.
Yeah, exciting. Yeah, right.
You know.
What was the first thing we were going to talk about anyway?
Yeah, sorry. So we're just going to go over the Newcastle game. That's what I was saying before. Oh, yeah. We feel like we can't really... We've seen it all before.
Yeah.
But obviously
it was disappointing, the Newcastle match, in terms of we were so excited to see, you know, the lineup of... Or the front four, you know, with Coutinho and Sturridge, Mane... So
that's the first thing. See how they line up against Newcastle. I absolutely had no issues with the way they lined up. There is something I want to talk about later. We will get to it, about Coutinho in the middle. And it is something I want to write up as an article as well. But we'll get to that soon. The major thing that everyone was probably talking about after the game was, I can't believe he started Sturridge and... Ugh. But before the game, everyone wanted Sturridge to start.
Yeah, that's Liverpool fans for you at the moment. I don't know what they want. But... I don't think Sturridge, as disappointing as Sturridge was, he wasn't the one that disappointed me the most.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at, for example, Mane, again, he's been unbelievable for us. I'm not saying anything there, but during the match, he was ineffective.
You know what? I don't think I've seen him have a bad game for us. He's had games where, you know, he hasn't been allowed to do what he wants. Like, for instance, the United game, I think, last season at home, when we just come off the... international break, and it's actually the same, pretty much the same fixture, if I'm not mistaken. And we're flying, and United were struggling, and then they just parked the bus, and just stifled us, and it was 0-0, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, wasn't it? So we've seen him have an off day, but nothing like that. And you know what? Players, that happens with players.
Of course it happens, of course.
And that's never happened before. Let him have a game. So, you know, again, I'm very calm in these situations. And having said that, being all the calm stuff, this isn't a knee-jerk reaction that I'm about to say. That's the first time I've probably thought that Sturridge is...
done.
It's done. It's like...
I have to agree with Carragher. Carragher's comments is what is similar to my thinking, where he's more of an impact player rather than someone you can start and lead the line. Because
but then people say that when he comes on as an impact player, he hasn't got enough time to do what he wants.
Yeah, but Sturridge at the moment, and again at the moment, things could change because it is a long season. But I think Sturridge at the moment has a maxed 30 good minutes in him.
That's probably true. But he seems like he can. He's I don't know. Yeah, he did seem he was out of energy.
It just seems like he tries to do too much when he starts. Like he wants to prove a point and wants to start and wants to say that I'm the man to lead the line. And he holds the ball for too long. He tries too many tricks. He does, like, for example, that chip shot he went for again just outside the box. Like, you don't have to do a chip shot. Just either shoot at goal, drive it low, place it, or pass it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those ones where I think he tries too hard when he starts.
So the thing that frustrates me with that is, again, we've seen Sturridge against Leicester when he came on. He was untouchable. He's doing all the same stuff. And the stuff that we're berating him for, too many tricks, too many touches. He's literally has that many touches that he brings everyone back into the play. He literally tries that many tricks that he beats everybody. So all these things that we're berating him for, he does against Leicester, and we're saying that's what we needed. So he's sort of in this purgatory where nothing he does is right, you know, so to speak. But having said that, one thing that frustrates me with the system and Jurgen Klopp and Sturridge is he puts him in a system that clearly does not favour him. False nine, literally doing the work of an attacking midfielder, where he's an in-the-box striker and he's supposed to be doing all this work. And he fails on one game and he's benched. I bet we'll never see him again in this position. Because Klopp would have gone, I told you so. And that's the one, I don't have any criticisms with Klopp at all. Actually, not even like the defences. I can see what he's trying to do, and it's frustrating, and we'll get to the defence later. But the one criticism I do have is the way he plays Sturridge. It's completely, it's non-existent, the positions he's putting him in. Sturridge, we saw him in the Diamond working well. In the League Cup, he scores in the Diamond with Origi. West Ham, he scores in the Diamond with Origi and Coutinho in behind. Playing with someone else, having someone share the workload for him, and maybe that's asking too much of a modern striker. A modern striker should be able to do all that work. But, you know, we're seeing Jesus and Aguero, for example, killing it as being two strikers. I'm not saying we have to play the Diamond, but, you know, at least give him some games to get used to this 4-3-3. We're never going to see him again, and that's what frustrates me.
Look, Sturridge is better with somebody next to him. Look at his time with Suarez. He's always
there. We go. Actual Liverpool example.
So he's obviously better with somebody next to him, and that's fine. Everyone's different, but Jurgen Klopp doesn't want that. He doesn't, and he won't change. And that's one thing you said. You don't criticize Klopp or whatever it is. And look, I'm very happy with Jurgen as well. This whole Klopp out stuff is beyond me. But anyway, that's not the point. The point being, my thing with Klopp is that he's not flexible. He doesn't adapt to a situation. He's not. I know what he wants to do with his team, but if you don't have the personnel for the system, just adapt to it for now.
Mm.
Not saying turn your back on your philosophy, because that's who are you? That's your identity, of course. But don't force something if it's not there. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
We it's clear we don't have the personnel for we don't have a speedy centre back to chase after a situation like that. Like Van Dijk will catch him. Van Dijk's very quick. He'll catch in that, and he's probably not side on like that. He's probably talking. He's probably got, because Matip's not really a talker. He's very, very quiet. Matip looks like he'll be great next to Van Dijk. I think Matip and Van Dijk could be a really good partnership. Lovren, possibly anyone plus Van Dijk would be a good partnership in my opinion. And then once when Joe Gomez gets a little bit more comfortable at centre back and against adults as it stands. He's quick as well. So he can, as long as you got one quick one, one dopey one, you can probably get away with it with the centre back.
Gomez is lightning quick, so I'd love to see him as a centre back, especially the way we are at the moment. So I don't know, man.
But yeah, that thing about Sturridge, it's disappointing because he won't get the next game. And the thing is with Sturridge, he's an incredible finisher. And yes, when he was in one-on-one with a goalkeeper, he missed. Put him in that same position next week, he's learnt from it. But you know what happens? He's not in next week. He won't be in for a very long time. Please excuse the sounds of gardening outside. That's really fucked. Oh my God. Wow, look at the waves. We can see the waves on the... It's going up there.
Oh yeah.
Wow, on Audacity here. Fucking...
Anyway.
Moving on. We're just not going to see Sturridge there again, which is annoying for me, because you know what? Yeah, when he has games in a row, he finds a way to score because he's that type of striker.
I think there is room for
him. You give someone one game every six games, like you said about Karius, he's cold. He needs time to sort of warm up.
And it's the same when people talk about Guric.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he has one game and it's like, oh my God, he wasn't Messi. We said he post Newcastle defence as a point that, on the agenda. So... We eased into it there by talking about the centre backs, but we've actually got a screenshot of the goal here, the positioning, and there's several things that we don't like what's going on here. But the basic order of operations here is Sturridge loses the ball. There's literally a pass between their four midfielders who are in a block in front of their back line. Henderson's a little bit advanced, and Wijnaldum is the player who is supposed to be replacing him. So these are all events, whether they're right or wrong, we'll discuss it. And then, yeah, you've got Matip and Lovren pretty much square, and Hosolu runs in between them. Apparently a step offside, but I don't give a shit about that. Because
I don't believe that. That's not good enough.
Yeah. How are you supposed to chase someone when they're in front of you and they've got the run on you? That's the question. But hold on to his shirt. Get goal side of him. There's lots of things you can
do. I agree. At the same time, if he's marked and if he's dealt with, there's no issue. But once again, you see a striker free in between our two centre backs.
So here are the factors that I'll pose to you. There's firstly, with defence, cover instead of offside. Because with cover, what happens is you can be goal side. The problem with what they're doing is they're trying to keep him off. So if he's behind them, you know what they've said? Let him go, he's offside. That gets said in games all the time. Leave him. He's offside. He's behind me.
Yeah, but we've seen the same thing against Man City, right? Remember Jurgen Klopp smashing, if we push up, there's no goal. And it's the same situation here. If you push up,
there's no goal.
He actually
says the same thing here, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the thing. But they haven't learned. And this is my biggest problem. We're not learning from our mistakes.
Mm.
And I'm not saying Jurgen Klopp's a bad manager, but the best managers in the world learn from their mistakes and they fix them. This is the same goal we've seen over and over again. I want to give a quick shout out to, I think it was @distancecovered is the Twitter page. I don't know who the person is, so please forgive me. But he put up a really, really nice video on the same goal that Liverpool have copped for the past two years.
That's good. And actually, we should watch that.
I retweeted it.
Should I pause and we should watch it?
I can get up for you now. Like,
what are we going to do? We're going to watch it because you can pause this. You're the magic of podcasting spells and incantations. So we're going to have a quick, if you can find it.
It's on my profile, so I'm going to find it right now. Hold on, where is it? It's right there.
Okay, hold on. We'll be back in a second. We'll watch this goal that's been conceded over and over again. I think we're back.
Yep, we're back.
Looks like it's working. So we watched that video. It is interesting. For me, the most important thing about the video is you get to see the goal over and over. I think the sentiment's correct this is the problem with the defense. But we can go through the little things that he is talking about. So maybe you've already retweeted it. So maybe we'll get Podcasting Couch to retweet it as well. It's an interesting video. Like I said, the best thing is you get to see the goal over and over. The first thing he talks about is the fullbacks are too high. Now, I get that, but if your fullbacks are 50 meters away from your center backs, or 15 meters away. I don't know how that affects a through ball to Vardy because they're not catching him. That literally, you're either asking the fullbacks to be right next to your defenders, in which case we're doing a park the bus situation, or they're going to be away from your centre backs. So for me, I don't agree with that part of it. He's like, again, fullbacks are too high, and then your centre backs are left alone. That's not the problem. Although you came up with it, you said something about obviously the ball side thing. Having said that, the ball side theory, all of these have been down the middle. So where's ball side? But anyway, say your ball side thing about fullbacks, which is correct.
No, well, the ball ends up down the middle because we lose the ball, but we're attacking from a side.
Mm.
So if the ball side of the let's say we're attacking on the left.
But if we're going left, yeah, sorry, I'll let you.
The left fullback will be as high as possible, obviously, to help support the overload in the wide areas, which is what Jurgen Klopp's all about. But on the right fullback, he doesn't have to be high.
So he comes
he can be
back.
Tucking back and in.
Okay.
So you're almost like in a central role in front of the centre backs. And when the ball starts to maybe move to the right, then that's when he goes boom, nice and high, and the left does back and in.
So when the ball's on the far left, Milner has it in that case because he's a left back.
Yeah.
Your right back is supposed to come in near your centre backs.
No, back and in. So it could be like even just
back and in.
So central midfield area. It doesn't have to be next to the centre backs. It could be in that space that we've seen so many times left empty.
Right.
And then if it does start to shift, out he goes and in he comes.
So we're now devil's advocate, or more, part of me doesn't agree with this because I don't know how it works, like literally with the speed that we want to play. So people say, and Jurgen Klopp says, and everyone says we don't move the ball quick enough. How do you get the ball quick enough from your left back to your right back when your right back isn't there? Because your right back's tucking in and he's inside.
Well, if your left and right back are passing to each other, then that's an issue.
No, they're not passing to each other. They're passing to Henderson, who then switches the ball. Who's he switching it to? Should be to our winger. But with the possession we're playing, we rely heavily on the wing backs, and our wingers are supposed to cut in and provide options in the box. It's sort of like a catch-22. It's like the shifting ball side. If we're going to only attack down the left, I can understand it, but we try and go left to right, left to right. You're basically, they're going to be doing shuttles from literally our center backs to the attackers, the opposition's box.
Yeah, but you brought it up earlier. We need to adapt at the moment until we have what we have.
Yeah.
Until we're ready to execute everything properly, we need to adapt with what we've got.
Okay. So having said that, adapting to what we've got, if we have the right players for the system, does that mean that these fullbacks don't need to be doing the shuttle? No.
If you've got the right players, our two centre backs actually mark one striker.
There you go. Okay, so that's a different thing. So the first problem that they found in there was the high fullbacks, which it's not that both of them are high. You're saying that one of them needs to come in. So that's one possible antidote for the problem. The second one is that we were talking about Barcelona. And in every game that I've seen, I saw them play, especially under Guardiola, it was so interesting. Obviously, you got your high fullbacks, but it was always Busquets coming in, splitting the centre backs. And commentators had a field day talking about this is now three at the back because you've got your centre defensive mid splitting your two centre backs. And you've essentially got three at the back. Now, if your centre defensive mid is that far back, every goal we've seen has been straight down the middle. So if you can imagine the shape, you've got two centre backs right at the back. It's almost like a V. With a flat bottom, like a trapezoid. You've got the two centre backs, you've got your full backs very high as two points on the left and the right. What you're supposed to have is right in front of the two dots of the centre backs is a centre defensive mid. And that goal we conceded against Shelvey, the goal we've seen over and over straight down the middle, essentially it runs straight into your CDM. That's antidote effectively number two.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, your likes of Guric, and we've seen the game, Emre Can does that quite well as well.
Yep. You mentioned other players as well. You before the pod, you're saying Matic and all these sort of players have that in their mind.
Nemanja Matic does it perfectly. Kante obviously just, you know, does it unbelievably well. Then there was Fernandinho has been doing it really well for Man City. Dyer, I think, is even doing it at the moment for Tottenham.
So so that's the antidote. Then I get played devil's advocate. You got a cramp?
Yep. Yeah, keep going.
Hold on. Do we need to?
Nah.
So effectively, you've got the antidote, and then I'm going to play devil's advocate with it. How are you supposed to have your CDM that far back when, again, we paused that video and Lucas was the CDM, right?
Yep.
If he was any further back, he's not an option in attack. A lot of the fixes for these problems means that we don't have the possession that we have to try and unpick their defense. You know what I mean? So we're asking for him to be like a Busquets, but we've got to watch maybe we'll pause it again and watch a Guardiola thing. No, we're not going to do that. But the thing that we said, and we're going to get onto the actual antidote for this, because The question is not Lucas in that situation that we saw against against Leicester. It's not Lucas being too... He doesn't need to be back enough, but just that gap needs to be smaller. So that's maybe what Klopp was talking about, as the centre-backs are not high enough.
Yeah, and if you go back to the podcast after the Arsenal match, yeah. how we both spoke about, well, I brought up the fact that one thing we just need to do with our back four is, if we're not going to have someone come back and protect them, then push them closer to the midfield.
The question is not whether they're not getting protected. It's that they're getting protected, but they're getting protected from an area where it's ineffective, because your CDM is cutting off a pass. So the pass that Shelvey plays, for example, is a 60 meter pass or 50. I don't know what the fucking measurements are. let's call it a 50 meter pass.
Yeah.
Wijnaldum is actually in front of him, but he's protecting a 20 meter pass, because a 20 meter pass, it's a little, not even 10 meter. Yeah. It's a little malakia.
Yeah.
Use a Greek word. It's a little, it's on the floor. So yeah. You can stop that, but he's not prepared to stop a long ball.
But if you push up again,
if you're pushing up, then the only ball he can play is a small one.
Yeah.
Because, and then if he plays it over the top, then your keeper should be getting it.
Or he's offside.
Or he's offside because the halfway line. So that's what you hear Klopp saying. So you can sort of, when we've just described it there, so we're not talking about, so the antidote was the CDM's too high up. But we've just debunked that and said, no. He's supposed to be there, the CDM. So the defence needs to be higher because you need to compress that space.
So for those listening, we're not like, this is an argument, by the way. We're like actually giving answers to what can help us. Like with our ideas, what can possibly help us? We've said maybe only one fullback presses and one comes in. Maybe we have a centre defensive midfielder come in and protect. Or maybe we've said you push up the back four. And you compact the midfield with our defence.
Well, I'd even call it two. The two options are... the two things that this video says is that, firstly, your CDM, your fullbacks are too high. The second thing it says is your CDM is not protecting enough. So, yeah, what we're saying is we're sort of saying, how do you either fix it? And the obvious thing is you have your CDM further back. But for the system to work, you need to press up your back.
Yeah, of course.
Your back two.
And it goes back to my point with Jurgen Klopp. Okay, he said it that many times in an interview. Then why does it keep happening?
Because you know what? In my opinion, if that starts working, we're Barcelona. We're not Barcelona, but we're playing the way that they did. And that's a certain system. It's a certain dominance of it's a certain way of playing.
It's just
and he'd rather them make the mistake over and over and go, no, press back up. It's like a baby walking. It falls over, no, get up, walk again. Falls over, no, get back up, walk.
The way I see it is just that our defense don't get it.
They don't get it. Yeah, that's a completely different issue. I'm happy to admit that. By the way, it's just I can respect that Jurgen Klopp is trying to do.
Yeah, of course.
This style, I can respect that.
They don't get it, right? And I know he wants to do it, and they're not getting it. Then maybe just until January, just have it like a band-aid effect. Just have put a little band-aid over.
That's the question, and that's a completely different thing. And you know what? We're doing a lot more than what a lot of people are saying. Klopp belt, this is fucking shit. Or we need new. It's literally just you can either tweak it or you can keep going with it. That's literally the two options that he's got.
See, I personally, myself, if I was in this situation as Jurgen is at the moment, I wouldn't completely go against my principles and my philosophy.
Yeah.
But knowing the situation I'm in and knowing how much pressure it is to be a Liverpool manager, I would just tweak something just for now and say, okay, well, maybe this is the best way to deal with something. Maybe we're going to score four goals a game, but maybe we're going to score one or two and we're going to win.
Mm.
And for me, that's no problem. As long as we're winning, I don't care if it's by one or seven. It's just for me is just for now until January comes and we can get Van Dijk, because that's what's happening apparently, and we're being positive about it. Or not just Van Dijk, it could be anybody now. Maybe we just realise the fact that we need more centre-backs or better centre-backs, not the five that he said before pre-season that no one's ever seen yet.
Mm. I know.
He's beat himself in the front. Anyway. But maybe just until then, which is not far away, by the way. It's 2 months away or 3 months away, max. Just deal with it. Deal with it, fix it now, and then go back to your way. It's not like, because it's not there. You know what to do. The players know what they want. Just for now, maybe, I'm not saying he should do this, but maybe it's better if he just deals with what we've got.
And Yeah, so if he's going to play his system, what he would do is he would push his centre backs up closer to your CDM. But an example of him putting a band-aid on it would be Henderson, sit.
Yeah.
Sit. And Henderson will say, but they need the ball up there. It's like, I don't care if they need the ball. Yeah. If our fullbacks are up, they're going to get the ball. Either your fullbacks push up and Henderson sits, or Henderson goes up and your Klein on the other side, or whoever your right back is, tucks in and comes a third centre back
100%.
To have three at the back. So you've got one in the middle, two out, two on the other side. So you've got three protecting the one quick cunt striker that always manages to get through the middle of them.
Well, and that's exactly what
we've said.
That's
the Band-Aid.
And that's what we've said.
That's the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But Jurgen Klopp, you know how Jurgen Klopp sees it? He sees it as, but we're 9/10 of the way there. If I put the Band-Aid on it, it's we're not healing the wound. Let me, you know what he's thinking? He's like, you know, he's a drug addict. He's like a gambler. He's going, give me one more game. I reckon they'll get it this
one
game.
One more hit.
Give me. They're like this with the fucking heroin. Yeah. The fucking arm.
I think also he's a stubborn man too. So, yeah,
but you can understand that. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know what? Let's try one more game. If they just pushed, because you know what? We're conceding every type of goal in that situation. Yes, it's the same goal, but there's different issues for it. Like, you know, it's they were too far back this time. They were too far forward this time. Klavan was out of position. Martip was out of position. Lucas wasn't further back. Your fullback. It's like always different things. So he's like, there possibly can't be another way that this system gets fucked up. Let's just try it one more time. Then it gets fucked up where Matip tackles it into his shin and it goes into the bottom right-hand corner off the post. And he's like, fuck, I'll try one more.
I don't know. For me, yeah, like, I don't know. I'll just do it that way. And if you look at our attacking players, regardless if we make, you said Henderson, so I'll say Henderson, sit back. I'm sure without attacking players, just the four of them on their own, have enough in them to attack 30 times a game.
I've said this before where I'm like, if we go 4-2-3-1, they're fucking, all we do is pass to them anyway. Like,
it doesn't change anything, does it?
You know, and again, I use this example of futsal. I mean, it's still football. It's similar principles apply. We were cracking the shits because we kept too much possession. You know what we did? We passed back to our goalkeeper. We all retreated back to our goalkeeper and then we broke. We actually made our own counterattack. Because we were fucking keeping the ball too much up the top and we're passing around too much and they were just defending way too easily. So we just thought, you know what? We're shit when we're so close to their box. So we're just going to go all the way back, press everybody back, and then they start coming out. Then you break on them again, you know?
I'm just worried the fact that teams are starting to easily pick us off.
Mm.
You've got the likes of Newcastle United, Burnley, Watford, Leicester, like just easily dealing with us. I think that's an issue.
Mm.
And they're not big clubs. They're not big teams, you know. Like, let's face it. I don't look at that Arsenal match as Arsenal at that point in time were like a wounded animal waiting to die.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But look at that. I mean, again, they're not the same team as us, but they're above us now. They've had conceded no goals in the Premier League. They've won four games in a row or something like that.
Because Wenger changed it.
That's a very good point. Very, very good point. Thing is, he's at a position in his career where he doesn't need to be trying to change the world. You know, Jurgen Klopp's trying to do something where people remember this Liverpool side. So again, I'm always going to be backing up Klopp in this situation because I like what he's trying to do. That's the defense and breathe.
So we've covered everything.
There's something that I wanted to chat about. So that was basically the defense. So everybody, you happy with that? I think that's the most in depth that we can go in terms of the defense. We watched a video halfway through and then we tried to articulate and you know, verbalize the shape that we were watching in the interest of podcasts and radio world. There is something I did want to talk about. So it was sort of apparent in the Newcastle game, but more than anything, it was apparent in the. We versus Moscow, is that right? Spartak Moscow.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting which one of the Russian teams we're versing. It's a thing about Coutinho in midfield. Now, I'll ask you, probably don't know where I'm going with this. Do you like Coutinho in midfield? Or do you like him as a left winger?
I like Coutinho in midfield if the people behind him just let him be him.
Yeah.
I don't like it when he's in the midfield and our midfielders are trying to become Coutinho. And trying to go beyond him, just give him the ball and protect him. So make sure let's pretend he has no defensive issues, like no defensive responsibilities.
He's actually very good in defense.
Yeah, let's pretend we don't give him any defensive responsibilities.
Yeah,
we have two people behind him saying, just do what you want to do, darling. We're just going to give you the ball and we're going to defend for you.
Mm.
I think Coutinho is the best when he has that kind of that roam where he can go left, right, middle, left, right, middle.
So there's that thing you just said. Now, we hadn't discussed this, so it's perfect that you bring that up. The problem I have with Coutinho in the middle is I actually think he's been given the license to roam. And in that regard, he's gravitating. And against Spartak Moscow, you look at the heat maps where he is on the field, he's only in the left wing position. Left wing position. He's supposed to be centre mid. And you've effectively told him, go wherever you want to go. And where's he going to go? The place where he scores all his goals. And for me, that was an issue against Spartak Moscow because you know what? There was a massive gap between the centre and right side of our midfield against Moscow because Coutinho's not there. He's not interested in that area of the field because that's not where he cuts in on.
I know what you're trying to say. And again, I agree. But at the same time though, excuse me. If you look at, we speak of the system here.
Mm.
He can't do what Mane can do. Get him behind with that woof and then space and see you later, Charlie.
Yeah.
He can't do that. And that's why I think I think it was a Klopp wants obviously from Salah and Mane to be those deadly in behind diagonal run kind of players where Firmino tucks in and plays with Coutinho to create the space for them. I think that's what he wants. I know what you want. I know what you're saying, which I think it works either way with Coutinho because he's world class. Mm. He can do whatever he wants. But I think Jurgen Klopp wants him behind the three of them.
He was never behind them. He was always on the left. He's on the bloody wing.
And it comes down to with the fine tuning we're talking about. I think you said give it time and he wants his, like the whole one more, give me one more hit, whatever you're talking about. I think he's wants to grasp Coutinho and make him that way. Just be patient, Coutinho. I know you want to go left and cut in and shoot, but pick your moment and do it. Don't do it every time. And like against Newcastle, he didn't base his time there. But the one time he got there, when he picked it up, cut in.
I've got no problem with him being on the left. What my issue is, a centre midfielder is not... That's why you are a centre midfielder. You're in the centre of the park. So what happens is, there's no part of Coutinho that they're expecting to go on the right. What I'm saying is what he should do is, as a centre midfielder, is to go looking for the ball. Like, when Wijnaldum against Leicester... You actually see him shuttling from left to right. Arguably, it was a 4-2-3-1 where he was the one, but why doesn't Coutinho play as the one? Maybe it's a system change. But even when you see Emre Can, in Coutinho's position, how many times you see him bomb down the right, bomb down the left, bomb down the center? He's always everywhere. So I'm not saying Coutinho's a crap player or anything, or you know, I don't know if it's an instruction issue. I actually personally think it's Coutinho again being a little bit, I'm on a free roam. I want to be where I want to be. This is where I want to be. In which case, I think it's up to Klopp to go, okay, I said go wherever you want, but I didn't mean go to left wing. We've already got Mane there. The problem that I had with that was we had our left back, Mane, Coutinho, all on the left. Imagine if Coutinho left that spot, went on the right. Try a shot from the right, for example. Well, maybe he's good at shooting from the right. He doesn't know.
He won't know.
He won't know. He laces, top corner. Who knows? Gerrard used to do it all the time. That was Gerrard's favourite position to score. Scored against Middlesbrough like that volley. Yeah. Remember that? On the last day of the season?
I just watched it yesterday.
Yeah. Who was against? Dumb cunt keeper. Maybe it was Jones. it wasn't Schwarzer. But that was one. And look, I think that's actually going to be fixed because what do we see against West Ham? Coutinho playing in Sturridge. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he plays in Sturridge from the centre of the park. Maybe we should watch it. We'll pause it again and watch it. But also against Everton, if I'm not mistaken, last season... No, last season. Shut up, George. the season 20, where we came second, the game where we creamed Everton. When he put Sturridge through, again, he's centre. So it's when he's centre midfield, I think all I want to see him do is act more like a centre midfielder. If he says be a number eight, think about, he's not Steven Gerrard, but think about players like that. Where did Gerrard used to go? When he was in centre midfield, yes, it was easier because it was a two of them, or Gerrard was centre attacking mid, so he could roam. And maybe Coutinho's been told to stay on the left, but in my opinion, he's being limited out there. Not limited because that's clearly his strength, but because the whole team is more predictable when he's out there. In my opinion, that's my problem with it.
Oh, understandable. That's fine. Again, my problem is the fact that we've created 100 million chances at goal and scored six. But anyway, it's another story.
But yeah, so one thing I would like to see is next game, Coutinho, if you're in the middle, start drifting. Otherwise, put him left wing. If he wants to play out left wing, put him left wing, because we're losing a player in the middle, in my opinion. Look, we're going to have a chat about the Manchester game, but I think we've got 2 weeks to sort of chat about Manchester.
We could do that next week.
We can do that. Yeah, we can do that next week. I'll be in LA. So, well, yeah, this is my last pod in Australia for a while.
How long?
I'll be there for 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so maybe Nish has got a...
So, Nish, maybe pull your finger up, mate, and maybe we can start actually getting together again.
Yeah. but I will be doing some pods based out of LA, so I'm going to do my best to take this equipment with me. I don't know if I can. But yeah, I'll do some stuff with some LA supporters, and we've got some people like US,
Anfield US
Anfield, yeah. And all, you know, all these people that sort of interact with us. So I'm not sure if they're near California. America's a big country. But I'll do my best to interact with as many people over there as I can. Anyway, international break, that's happening for 2 weeks. So I think that's a pretty good spot for us to leave our listeners. And,
my thing is, international break normally stuffs us.
I think, nah, it's going to be good for us.
I think this time around, it's going to do the complete opposite.
Well, let's hope it does.
I think our players needed the break, and now they're going to come back and beat United. I'm telling you.
Well, then the crystal ball says that we're going to beat Manchester United. So it's been right all the time. George is going to bring back his betting. I'm putting $50 into the account. Do not gamble, kids. Gamble responsibly. I don't know what the message is. Nish is going to hate this part of it. But you know what? I'm doing it for Liverpool. I'm putting $50 on United to win. Fuck it. Because if I lose the money, I'm happy. Someone goes, what happened today, George? I lost $50. What? I'll bet against Liverpool. Love it. I lost it. And because then, Liverpool won. I'll go to town.
And if you win, if they lose, sorry, you win money.
If Liverpool lose, but I don't want the money. I'll give it to charity. I don't want the money. I just want to know that I've dicked the betting company. I've dicked them because I knew that Liverpool weren't going to... No, I knew Liverpool weren't going to do well, but they want to profit off my heartache. I'll give it to someone else. I always give money to someone else.
Yeah, give it to me.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, beautiful.
I'll give it to all types of people. Anyway, have a happy international break, everybody. I'll see you all in Australia in 5 weeks, but I will see you in LA or in America as a US arm of this podcast pretty, pretty soon. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back soon.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
You're good, sir!